Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. What they sang about is what I'm going to preach about. The Holy Spirit. And you're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but it's always exciting to come in during the middle of the week and get the batteries recharged. Amen? I'm always looking forward to that. I remember when I first got right with God, seemed like going to church on Sunday morning wasn't enough, so I said, well, I need to go on Sunday night. They got that Sunday night thing. And I realized, well, that's good, but that's not enough. I need to get through the week. So I said, I need to get out in that midweek service. And it's always been a help to me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 is where we'll begin. The Bible says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So he's going to tell us what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now that's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. As much as we're not supposed to be drunk with wine, we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. As much as it is a sin to be drunk, it's also a sin not to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit of God. It continues, it says, verse 18 is where the sentence begins. It doesn't finish yet. It's going to go all the way down through verse 21. So he's going to continue the thought of being filled with the Spirit. He says, continuing, he says now in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be together in your house. I ask that as you've dealt with me over this subject, I pray that you'd speak to others too about the importance, and not just the importance, but how we can be filled. I just ask, Lord, that you'll do what I cannot do, and speak to people's hearts, and may we leave here knowing that we're filled with your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I have a question for everyone to answer tonight, and it's simply this. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Now answer that to yourself. Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're saved, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but that's something different. It doesn't mean that he's in control of you. We spoke about that about a month or so ago on a Sunday morning when I preached on the meaning, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But are you filled? Now, some may respond, well, I think so. I hope so. But I'm not really sure. Well, since we're commanded in verse 18 to be filled, then we should know if we're being obedient, shouldn't we? Really, we should be able to see if we are being filled with the Spirit or not. I mean, are you sure whether you tithe this week or not? Are you pretty sure that if you read your Bible this morning? You knew if you read your Bible, right? You knew if you obeyed God and read your Bible this morning. You know if you whether or not you tried to witness to somebody recently. So we can know when we've done those things, so why can't we know if we've been filled with the Holy Spirit? We really should know. And if you don't know, maybe you're not. And if you're not, then you're in sin. So we should we shouldn't be looking for a feeling. We should look to the Scriptures to see what it is about being filled with the Spirit. Now, thankfully, our text, and this is where we're only going to begin here, and we're going to bounce all over the place, but our text gives us a couple of signs that we can consider whether or not we're filled with the Spirit. As I mentioned there in verse 18, that's the beginning of the sentence. He says, be filled with the Spirit. And then he gives us a couple of indications whether or not we are. In the first one, we find in verse 19, and that's singing. So, well, I like to sing. Well, I'm not talking about anybody who can sing. Even unsaved people like music. And even unsaved people can like some good music. But that doesn't make them filled with the Spirit. Here it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to who? to the Lord. Have you noticed a lot of the quote-unquote, many of the quote-unquote new hymns that have been written? There are a lot of them about, you know, God, what can you do for me? And when you look at a lot of the old hymns, it's mostly about, Lord, I can't imagine how good you are to me and who you are. And it's songs like, How Great Thou Art. The old rugged cross. There's songs about God. They're lifting up God. They're praising God. And a lot of times, I'm sorry, a lot of the new songs is, Lord, what can you do for me? I need help. And it becomes self-focused instead of focused on God. But if we're truly filled with the Spirit, we're going to have a song in our heart and we're going to want to glorify God. It's just going to be there. We love God. Not only that, but there's, in verse 20, not only singing, but satisfaction. Giving thanks always, even when the car breaks down. All right? Always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks always. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with your station in life, the situation you're in right now? Or do you tend to complain a lot? I'm telling you, if you are a complainer, that is not a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. A satisfied, thankful heart, it can be some good evidence that we're actually filled with the Spirit of God. So we see singing, we see satisfaction, then we see thirdly, submission. Here in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So here's another good sign we could check and see in our lives. Are you in submission to those who are in authority over you? If you're not, you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Do you have the right attitude toward authority? Or do you always question authority? Is it do you roast Pastor Dameron for Sunday afternoon meal when you get home, right? That's a Sunday supper, right? Roast Pastor Dameron. You know, our culture, it thrives on being critical of and being in rebellion to our authority. And I'm sorry, conservative talk radio doesn't help anything either. And then it gets into our churches. It gets into our homes. So, we don't have a song in the heart. We're complaining all the time. We're criticizing all the time. We're not in submission, either in action or in attitude. Let me tell you, we're not filled with the Spirit of God in that case. And I believe there are a huge number of Christians exactly in that condition tonight. Unfortunately, many people think they're filled and they're really filled with themselves. They operate in the flesh. And it's extremely dangerous to talk about being filled with the Spirit while you're living in the flesh. We misrepresent God when we do that. We begin to justify our sin. We deceive ourselves into thinking that because I read my Bible, I have a ministry, I go to church, we think, oh, if I do all those things, I must be right. You know, you can do all of those things in the energy of the flesh. And you can do all those things in the energy of the flesh for quite a while. It will show up, it will catch up to you, but you can do it. The Pharisees talked about God in the Scriptures, but they weren't filled with God's goodness. That means preachers, Sunday school teachers, bus captains, they can all act spiritual and really not be filled with the Spirit of God. Now that's a problem. Especially people who are telling us that we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit, and they're not. Hey, if I teach my children they need to be filled with the Spirit, and everything I do is in the energy of the flesh, they're going to equate everything that I say is the Spirit-filled life with really being a fleshly life. Not only will I raise hypocrites, I'll raise children who don't know anything about God's power in their life to have victory over sin or to serve God or anything. Obviously, a lot more can be said about being filled with the Spirit in the Scriptures than just what's found in Ephesians chapter 5. And so tonight we're going to look at the purpose of being filled, the results of being filled, and the way that we can be filled. And as we see more about the Spirit-filled life, hopefully you'll be able to answer that question, am I filled with the Spirit of God? So I've entitled the message, The ABCs of Being Filled with the Spirit, simply because all the subpoints for each of the main points go in alphabetical order. They start with A, B, C, and they go all the way up to Z. No, we're not here that long. So let's get into the message. First of all, number one, why should we be filled? You ever wonder why we should be filled? There's a lot of reasons. I'm just going to give you a few here. First one is this, and this could be an entire message all on its own. In fact, all three points could be an entire message on its own. So we're going to squeeze it all down and see how much we can get done tonight. Why should we be filled? Well, letter A, to alter our behavior. Galatians chapter 5, if you just turn back a couple pages with me. Galatians chapter number 5, and beginning in verse number 16, this is one of our memory verses, right? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's continue there. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Get that word, against. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Don't you get sick and tired sometimes of wanting to do what's right and then not doing it? The reason we don't do it is because we're in the flesh and we're not filled with the Spirit of God. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, these sexual sins. And by the way, that doesn't have to be just, it can be of the mind too. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So the flesh is pretty bad. And when we're in the flesh, we can commit any one of those sins of the flesh. In fact, most of the time when you see one of those sins of the flesh, you see another one going on too. Just take drunkenness for example. Do people who get drunk, do they ever murder people? Do they ever have a bunch of strife and wrath? Is there ever adultery and fornication involved? You see, once you get in the flesh, it's a dangerous place to be because you can slip into any one of those sins. Oh, but we've trained ourselves well, haven't we? Not as well as we think. But now look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, and notice that the works of the flesh are never called fruit because there's nothing desirable to God or anybody else in the flesh there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God so that we can alter our behavior. And if you're saved, as we just read, there's a great battle that rages within your heart. The flesh wants to sin. The Holy Spirit wants to produce some wonderful fruit. And then something else I know, that every person has strengths and weaknesses. And I've learned, and I'm sure some of you have also learned, that if you could, learning those areas where you're strong and weak can be invaluable to your life and to your ministry. When you know who you are, it'll really help you out. Because it's possible to work in the energy of the flesh and still think that you're right with God because you're leaning on the strengths that God gave you. And those strengths will carry you for a while. But understanding your weaknesses, what that'll do is cause you to trust God to help you to overcome those sins in your life. It'll also help you to trust God to enable you to do the things that you can't naturally do. So what are you talking about? Let me continue here. I've also learned that a person's strengths are very often their weaknesses. And when you start trusting your strengths, you're walking in the flesh. And if those strengths are not under control of the Holy Spirit, they will be used for wrong. I'll give you an example of that. If you're a strong leader, you possess that drive, man, and that enables you to get things done. But that same drive will also drive right over people. It'll drive the people that you're supposed to be leading right into the ground. It'll run over them sometimes because you're going to get it done and you don't care if anyone's in your way. So that great strength of yours, if not controlled by the Spirit, will become a weakness. What if you're analytical? You've got that mind that analyzes everything and you can pick everything apart. You know, that can be great sometimes. You can troubleshoot and you can discover problems. You can see what's going to happen before the average guy. That's great sometimes. But if that analytical mind that God gave you is not under control of the Holy Spirit, you become extremely critical of other people. And while you're very right in some things, you're very wrong in how you do them. And by the way, that's the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, because when you're starting to be extremely critical of everybody, the Bible says that love thinketh no evil. So it's flesh. Same thing, you know, if you're that strong leader and you're running over people, hey, be the strong leader, but be the strong leader filled with the Spirit, because when you run over people, that's not the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. It's good to other people. How about the easygoing person? Man, that can be really good because they don't get all riled up. You ever know, some people that, I mean, the atomic bomb could go off next to them and, oh, well. And you think, man, they never lose their temper, nothing. It's just like, these guys are great. Well, they can be great sometimes, but that easygoing temperament can also be pretty lazy. They can be prone to procrastinate. How about that carefree sanguine? They just bounce off the walls and they're just happy about everything. Well, that carefree person can also be quite careless also. And someone else has to come back and pick up everything behind them. So our greatest strengths, if not tempered by the Holy Spirit, can also be our greatest weaknesses. So for every weakness then, so I've talked about our strengths, let's talk about our weaknesses. For every weakness that we have, the Holy Spirit can produce the opposite when He is in control of our lives. Now, this should encourage us. Let's take, for instance, you got a problem with anger. Let's go through our list here in chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. If you have a problem with anger, if you're filled with the Spirit, you're not going to be angry because you're going to have love for people. If you have a problem with fear or discouragement, when you're filled with the Spirit, guess what? You're going to have joy and peace. You can't be discouraged and have joy at the same time. You can't have fear and have peace at the same time. If you're an impatient type of person, easily frustrated, everything gets under your skin. Well, when you're filled with this Holy Spirit, guess what happens? You become long-suffering. Maybe you're rough and caustic toward people. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit produces gentleness. See, gentleness, that's not a manly term. It's a Bible term, sorry. And we ought to maybe exercise a little bit more of that with one another. Well, that's just my personality. Well, that's just your personality in the flesh, not under the Spirit, control of the Spirit of God. That's what that is. Worry or hopelessness. Holy Spirit produces faith. I can do all things. Maybe you're proud, full of yourself. Holy Spirit produces meekness. Oh, yeah. Maybe you just have absolutely no self-control. Well, God gives control through temperance. You see, the Holy Spirit, the key to overcoming the weaknesses and the sins in our lives and the sins of our flesh is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's the first reason we ought to be filled with the Spirit, because it'll alter our behavior. Secondly, it'll help us battle the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I got to move now, so just put your seatbelt on. We're going to read a lot of passages. Ephesians chapter 3, 16. Paul prayed for the believers to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And by the way, that's a good thing for us to pray for one another, that God would strengthen each of us in the inner man by His Spirit. Strengthened by His Spirit. Why? For the battle. These guys, when they go out wrestling, they don't just show up to the mat. They're lifting weights. They're lifting weights through the summer. They're trying to get ready for the battle. God's Spirit strengthens us for the battle. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, whether building God's temple like Zerubbabel in Zerubbabel's day or building God's church in our day, we've got to rely on God's Spirit to do the work, to fight the battle. It is a battle. The devil wants to rip your children apart. He wants my children. He wants your children gone. And he's got so much filth and garbage out there on the internet and on the cell phones, and there's so much stuff out there. The devil wants our children. And we need to raise those children for God. You say, it's impossible. No, it is possible when we're filled with the Spirit of God. But if we're not walking with God and we're living in the flesh and we're just going to do what we want to do, we will pay the price with our children someday. Oh, I don't know how that happened. Yeah, but when we're filled with the Spirit of God and we're walking with God, God will give us wisdom to know how to deal with our children, how to teach our children, how to lead our children, what to teach them, and how to show them and train them so that they can go in the right way. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go is not just spank him when he's bad. It's point him in the right direction and teach him what is good. We need to put time in, and we need God's power for that. I cannot raise my kids in my strength, and neither can you. I can't have a good marriage in my strength. But when I'm filled with the Spirit of God, and when my wife is filled with the Spirit of God, we've got a tremendous marriage. If I'm in the flesh, or she's in the flesh, begin to rub one another the wrong way. Now, don't look at me like you've never been there, because you might be there right now. Satan wants to keep souls lost that we're trying to win. It's a battle. Maybe you've gotten some people saved recently, and God's used you, and you're trying to disciple them, trying to bring them along. The devil wants them back in the world. It's a battle. And we're not going to win that battle by being friendly. We should be friendly. But your friendship, your personality, your charm isn't going to keep them in church. We need God's help. We need God's power. You and I are in a battle, and we need God's Spirit to be fit for the task. Let's move on to letter C. Commune with God. We need fellowship with God to change us and to equip us for this service. The Holy Spirit enables us to have that fellowship. I have fellowship with God through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so do you when you walk with God. In Romans 8:16, the Bible says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Holy Spirit brings assurance. He brings assurance. I'm a child of God. I don't deserve to be a child of God. But that does a lot for my fellowship. His Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. He'll pray for you when you can't even pray for yourself. When it's on your heart, God help, and you don't even know what to say, Holy Spirit takes over. We commune with God. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. John 16:13, another familiar verse. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear,
that shall he speak. Amen.
And he will show you things to come.
The Holy Spirit's going to show me things to come. He's going to receive of Jesus and he's going to give it to me. And he's going to pray to the Father for me. He helps my fellowship. And through the Holy Spirit, I can draw close to the Lord in assurance, in prayer, and understanding and instruction of his word and of his will. Man, that's what we need.
Not just, I read my Bible this morning.
No.
We're walking with God when we're with the Spirit. And the letter D would be deliver the gospel. That's another reason we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To give out the gospel. One of the main reasons that we need to be filled is so that we can witness for Christ. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive what? Power. Let me ask you, do we have that power when we go knock on doors? Do you remember when you first went soul winning? You were begging God for wisdom. You were begging God for strength. You were asking God to prepare people's hearts before you went to the door and knocked. Now you just kind of bebop out and you have a little prayer and you get out there and nothing happens. And we wonder why nothing happens. Nothing happens because it's all in the energy of our flesh. Now hopefully it's not that way all the time, amen? But how much is it like that? It's just another thing in our schedule. We check off our day timer. I went out. Got to go bus visiting. Got to get this in. I got some things to do this afternoon. Got to mow the lawn. Amen, you got to mow the lawn. It's no problem. But can we still not pray and say, God, do something? In the flesh, we can be weak and fearful. But God can empower us. And the same Holy Spirit that enabled the disciples can empower us too. Secondly, number two. Number one, we already saw the reason why we need to be filled. Number two, what are the results of being filled? Now, some people would say that speaking in tongues, oh yeah, that's the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. I don't know, have you ever talked to people? Do you speak in tongues? Nope. And you don't have the Spirit. And you're not saved. Well, I am saved, and I have the Holy Spirit. I might not have the Spirit that's in you, but I've got the Holy Spirit. You see, a misunderstanding of the purpose of tongues has resulted in this fascination with something that's completely different from what biblical tongues were. Tongues in the Bible were known languages that were given to the unbelieving, as a sign to the unbelieving Jews that they would believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, most of you know this, but if you're new in our church, maybe you don't know. Maybe you've come from a Pentecostal background. But God, he did enable people in the New Testament times to speak in tongues, but those tongues were languages. And they were languages that they didn't have to learn, and as they spoke, they preached the Word of God, and people heard the Word of God in their own language. That was the gift of tongues. And if speaking in tongues was a gift for today, then why do missionaries who claim to have the gift of tongues have to go to language school to learn foreign languages? The reason is they don't have the gift of tongues. Man, I wish I had the gift of tongues. Right? It'll be a whole lot easier to say, Mabugabuti, Gabotu. But I had to learn that. I had to learn how to say it. I had to learn what the words were. I had to learn how to put the right inflection in things. I probably still don't even have the right inflection in everything. Still sound like a Muzungu when I say it. Muzungu, that's a white man. Focusing on tongues detracts from the focus on the other areas of our lives that are extremely important. So, what are the results? If we're filled with the Spirit of God, what's it going to do for us? It's not what's it going to do for us. What's he going to do through us? First one is this, adoration. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, we're going to praise and glorify God. We kind of hinted on that earlier in the introduction. In Acts 10,
Verse 45 and 46. You don't have time to turn there, but just listen. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Then it says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. The Holy Spirit was poured out on these folks, and they magnified God. If I'm filled with the Spirit, there's going to be a lot of talk about Jesus. There's going to be a lot of talk about the Bible. There's going to be less criticism. There's going to be less. There's not going to be any gossip. Amen. Man, we run around, we gossip, we do this, we do that, and we're not filled with the Spirit of God. But when we're filled, man, you know what I got on my devotions this morning? Hey, pray for this person. I'm trying to get this person saved. Pray for this person. We're trying to get this person baptized. And once the Holy Ghost was poured out, they magnified God. You know, arguing and bickering, they are not marks of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Are your children often at each other's throats? If they are, Holy Spirit's not controlling them. And it's about time as parents we teach our children how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you frequently quarrel as a husband and wife? If so, Holy Spirit's not in control. He said, how do you know? Well, James gave us a little indication here in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Therewith bless we God, talking about the tongue, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We can't come to church, sing the praises of God, on the way home, fight and feud, and then still say, I'm right with God. No, we're not right with God. Our lips and our life will magnify God when the Holy Spirit is poured out. Let me move on to the next one, letter B, boldness. Peter and John, after they had healed the lame man, they were put in prison for the night and threatened the next day that they should never preach again. Well, when they were released, they gathered together the believers and they had a prayer meeting in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, this is what they prayed. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Lord, please give us all boldness. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. You know what they got? They got what they asked for. They wanted boldness. And we can pray for boldness. Boldness is confidence. It's confidence that God's going to work through us. Pray. Lord, I need boldness. I need confidence. Man, I was sitting up here before I got up to preach. I'm like, Lord, I got this message, but I don't know how it's going to come out. Lord, I need help. I need this boldness you're talking about. If God could grant them that much boldness when their lives are threatened, can't he grant us boldness to pass out a tract when we have a little fear in our heart? He can if we're asking for it. A filling of the Spirit, the same Spirit of God is available to all who pray for it and ask for it. How much time do you pray for boldness when you witness? Acts 4:31. I was memorizing that a couple weeks before it even was on our list of verses to memorize. Because I needed that one. Are you prone to fear? Well, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power. He gives us power. We need the Holy Spirit. Again, don't look at me like, I give out a tract to every person that I ever meet, and I always have God's confidence, and I never fear. Yeah, right. What's the problem? We're not always filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we let fear quench the Holy Spirit, and then we stop walking with the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what you need to do then? Confess it, get right, get filled with the Spirit again, and move on. Amen? What are the results? Adoration, boldness. Thirdly, conversions. Another result of the filling with the Spirit is seeing souls get saved. Acts 11:24. For he, Barnabas, this is what he was talking about, was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And what happened? And much people was added unto the Lord. Now, how much people? That's God's business. All right? I mean, these jokers who go out there and say, well, today I'm going to have 5 saved. I'm going to have 15 saved when I go out. I'm going to go find a basketball court and, you know, have everybody pray before we start playing games. And then no. We've all witnessed the power of the Holy Spirit in this very auditorium on many occasions, especially during a fall push. The auditorium is filled with unsaved people. People have been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying for God's power. The invitation is given. People raise their hand, and person after person comes down, goes out, and is dealt with about salvation. Sometimes the pastor will even have to say, we need more counselors. What's going on? The Holy Spirit. And if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not too far away from our fall push. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's power doesn't come down. People are not going to get saved. Another result is deliverance. Where I spoke about how the Spirit will work in helping us overcome the flesh and produce fruit in our lives, but he can also liberate us from that besetting sin that keeps coming back and back over and over. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Right? If you keep living in the flesh, and you will not be filled with the Spirit of God, eventually it's going to catch up to you. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Through the Spirit, mortify. The word mortify means to put to death. How many times you've said, I'm not going to do that thing again? The next day you're right back at it. Because you have no power. I have no power. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we can put that thing to death. It lifts its ugly head up. We pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we lop its head off. That's why we memorize those verses. We're tempted to doubt, we're tempted to fear, we're tempted with that. Whatever it is, we bring the Word of God. We fill our hearts and our minds with the Word of God. And we lean upon Him in utter dependence. And we can get over that nagging sin and put it to death. We can be the victorious. Do you know that? We can be. Some people think, well, that's just the way I am. No, it's just the way you are in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let me get to the next one, empowerment. Empowerment. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Power from on high. Now what was that power supposed to do for them? A couple of verses before, in verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That empowerment was for the purpose of world evangelization. All nations, he said. All nations. Have we reached all nations? Now, I honestly believe that if more people were truly filled with the Spirit of God and submitted to His will, that we would see a surge of people going off to the mission field. Say, you really believe that? Yeah, go back to Acts chapter 13. Because we just saw that we're supposed to wait for power from on high. God wants to give us power from on high, that Holy Spirit power. And that power was given to go and evangelize all nations, not just America, all nations. All nations. Acts 13, verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Who called them? The Holy Ghost. Because they were in tune with the Holy Spirit. They heard His call. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by who? By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit calls people. The Holy Spirit sends people. But you got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And when we're walking in the flesh, and we have so many people walking in the flesh, they're not in tune with God. They're living their own life, going their own direction. It's no wonder. If God wants the world evangelized, and the Holy Spirit is in the business of sending men and women to the mission field, then I believe we'll see more people go when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Henry Martin, he was a missionary to India and Persia. He said, "The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of missions. The nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we become." It's the Spirit of God that empowered men like David Livingston to be able to say, "In this service I hope to live, in it I wish to die." Surely God's Spirit led men like Hudson Taylor, who said, "If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all for China." Only the Holy Ghost could enable a man like John Patton, missionary to the New Hebrides, to say, "I had my nearest and most intimate glimpses of the presence of my Lord in those dread moments when musket, club, or spear was being leveled at my life." Never forget that the power from on high is for world evangelization, not only American evangelization. John Keith Falconer said, "I have but one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than a land flooded with light." Let that sink in. We got churches here. There's a whole lot of places that have no churches, no gospel. Yeah, but we need to reach our country. We do need to reach our country. And if God calls some men to start churches around here, I'm all for it, and I think we should do some more. But we are so haughty as Americans to think that world evangelization rises and falls on America. Pity us in our pride. It's just an excuse to stay here and enjoy Walmart. But when the Spirit of God shows up, He gives empowerment. Don't fear ever being called to the mission field, because those He calls, He also enables. And don't fear it for your children. I'm out of time. Point number three. What do we got to do? Let me give you quickly how we can be filled. Number one, letter A, ask. Ask. "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, and we do know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that" what? "Ask Him."
do you ask for a filling? When's the last time you asked, honestly asked for a filling? How much more will God give that? I remember 25 years ago, as I traveled as a youth evangelist, I remember being scared to death. Man, I got up there for this rally, this crusade, and I mean, there was a bunch of people out there, and I'm up on the platform, and I had my back turned to them, and I'm just looking down. It hadn't started yet. It was supposed to start any moment. I said, Lord, I can't do this. I cannot do this. I need your power. I need your strength. And I remember, I'll never forget, getting done praying and turning around and say, all right, kids, and then going for however long it took, just flat out with God's strength and with God's power. I'll never forget that. We need to depend on God for our ministries. Have you asked in earnest, or you just asked casually for a filling? Next, you have to believe. Asking is not enough. Matthew 21:22. In all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If you don't believe you can be filled, and you don't believe you can know you're filled, then you're not going to be asking, believing. You're just kind of, well, fill me and go on. No, Lord, I need a filling. I need to teach this Sunday school class. I need to work this bus route. I need to go knock on doors. I need to witness to that person you put on my heart. I can't do this, but will you fill me? And he will. We don't have to wonder, am I filled? And then thirdly, confess. The Spirit of God is holy. Remember, he's called the Holy Spirit. It's part of his name. And he's not going to fill you if you're filled with something else. And in 2 Timothy 2:19-21, he says, let every one of you that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The Holy Spirit can fill you. We know Peter. He was a backslidden fisherman. He went back to the fishing business. Christ confronted him. He went up in the upper room and prayed. And what was the result? God's power is on his life, and 3,000 people got saved. Why? He repented. Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you if we turn. We don't want to turn. What sin's holding back the Holy Spirit from controlling your life? If you're willing to give it up, he's willing to help you. And then desire. And that last day, the great day of the feast, John 7:37-39. Jesus cried, saying, if a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water, flowing. But this spake he of the Spirit. Man, thirst is a natural desire. And when you're really thirsty, you'll do about anything to get some water. I was out riding my bike this morning, and I'm glad I brought my water bottle. I said, I needed it. But that's how we need to be with the Holy Spirit. Do you long for and pant after a filling of the Spirit? And if you don't, how can we expect we're going to have it? We don't have it because we're not desiring it. I honestly think there's a whole lot of Christians walking in the flesh. Jesus promised, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. That's what we need. Oh, we need a filling. Then we need to expect. I don't have time. And then we need to follow. We need to obey. Acts 5:32. If you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, you need to be obedient. And Peter said, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Children, if you don't obey your parents, you're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're not obedient to our bosses at work, if you cut corners and you in your ministries and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're not obedient. God's not going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And you're going to keep doing those good things in your own strength, and that's why you're going to have the results of your own strength. God's not going to fill you with his power when you're not submitted to him.
Because if he did, we'd use that power for the wrong things. We could use it to get glory for ourselves. Something God taught me a long time ago was this. I'm not supposed to try to get the Holy Spirit, use him to get my work done. I'm supposed to let him get his work done through me. And if you understand that, that'll change your entire view of the person of the Holy Spirit. He's not this magical entity that you get to help you with your business. You submit, you surrender, you follow, you obey, and he takes control and he does his work through you. It's a big difference.